Father, we are thankful to you. We are thankful that we are blessed by your Holy Spirit in our spirit. And Father, on the basis of your word, we believe and with thanksgiving accept that by the anointing of your Holy Spirit, we are already enriched with everything, every word, every knowledge, and don't have lack in any gifting. We are so blessed, Father, with your capabilities and your opportunities that we have in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And we ask you, forgive us if we were in any way inattentive to your calling or your instruction. We repent in the name of Jesus. Forgive us that we were limiting you and therefore limiting ourselves. We are so thankful for your mercy and love, Holy Spirit. We are thankful to you that you are ready to direct, lead, create in us the desire and action. And we ask you, direct, lead, and create in us the desire and action. And with your spirit of truth, instruct each one of us personally onto your truth. Help us not turn to the right or the left, so that the will of God be fulfilled in all its fullness without any lack. We accept with thanksgiving on the basis of 1 Corinthians that we already have the mind of Christ, an anointed mind, a mind capable to understand and accept immeasurably more. And releasing our faith, we, right now, put our hand on our head and accept that the anointing of the Spirit of godly wisdom, of revelation, right now, by the Holy Spirit, rises up in our spirit, anointing our mind and making us capable to accept and understand immeasurably more than we ask, more than we imagine. Right now, we accept in the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus and demolish any influence of worldly and spiritual and demonic wisdom on their minds in the name of Jesus. And we accept with thanksgiving that right now, the mentally blind receive their sight, and the tortured right now receive their freedom in the name of Jesus. And everyone present sees perfectly in your great light in the name of Jesus. We accept, Lord, we are so blessed by your Holy Spirit, and we believe where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We accept freedom from every darkness in any of its manifestations right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the workings of your strength. Thank you that right now is broken every binding of the worldly, unspiritual, and demonic wisdom. We accept the working of your light, and in your light we see light. We accept that on this place there is no lying spirit, no religious spirit, spirit of fear, spirit of sickness, spirit of lack and need are not on this place in the name of Jesus. We accept and with thanksgiving, Jesus, your heavenly service in the power of the Holy Spirit. We accept with thanksgiving the work of godly wisdom in all its fullness without any lack. And we are thankful to you, Father. We are thankful to you, Jesus, for your heavenly service on this place by the Holy Spirit and strength. In the name of Jesus, amen. Part 1, Lesson 2, Word, by Alek Rimes, translated by Irina Narivanchuk. This is a very important lesson. The lesson is called Words, or Word. And I'm going to try to put in a complete foundation. Let's look at ourselves. How we thought, how we acted, and how we saw things before we were saved. We had a different set of values. What Satan did was he took something that existed, corrupted it, and presented it as something new. So what we're going to be learning today is not new and is something that is needed for every born-again Christian. I'm going to read from Ecclesiastes 8:5-7. Ecclesiastes says these words, "Whoever obeys..." I like the word obeys. It reminds me of what Jesus said. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock." So whoever obeys his command will come to no harm. A good phrase, no harm. I'm sure people are thinking, how is this possible? No harm. But I know one person who came to no harm, and you know this person as well. So whoever obeys his command will come to no harm. I don't get electrocuted not because I'm a preacher, but because I obey the laws of electricity. Obeying the laws helps you not get into any trouble. The wise heart will know the proper time and procedure, for there is a proper time and procedure for every matter, though a man's misery weighs heavily upon him. And in the Russian version it says, to a person it is a great evil that he does not know. Evil is brought by Satan, of course. But it's brought through the process of a person not knowing. Because a person does not know, he lets Satan into his life through a lack of knowledge. So what we're going to be looking at today is, number one, knowledge that will prevent us from giving Satan place in our life. And we'll start from Genesis. Why do we start from Genesis? To explain why we start from Genesis, I would like to take Proverbs 2, verse 6, because there is one very important piece of wisdom of God. You will understand this through this question. Tell me, sending your child on a trip and understanding everything your child may go through or may encounter, the most important things are you going to tell him before he goes or after he comes back? Of course, before he goes, in the beginning. You, as a loving parent, will explain to your child anything that he may encounter in the beginning. And therefore, the wisdom of God says, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Tell us, do we have a loving father? Therefore, what is important to us, he will tell us right away, from the first, in the beginning. What is the beginning? Genesis. Genesis, that means there is something really important for us there as children of God that we should know so that we would not turn from it, having learned it. In Genesis, I look at it as the New Testament because each of us has been returned to paradise. So the book of Genesis is his initial piece of wisdom to us. I'm not going to read the entire thing. I'm just going to try to get the point across. So Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock and all the earth. Firstly, let us make men in our image and in our likeness. What does likeness mean? It doesn't mean that God created another God with a capital G. Likeness in this context means God created man or made a creation that is supposed to imitate him in everything. What can we imitate somebody in? We can imitate our creator in thinking like him. Number two, talking like him and with the same purpose. And thirdly, acting like him and with the same purpose. So you are created to live like this, in his likeness, or imitating him in everything. So therefore, when you are reading scripture, and you are investigating the word of God, and you are learning this, you're not actually learning him, you are learning about yourself, because you are created in his likeness. So you are finding out how and what you should do to imitate him. And this is reinforced in Ephesians 5:1, where he said, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. So think like him, talk like him, and with the same purpose, not just to talk, but with the same purpose. And Ecclesiastes says, there's a time to talk and a time to be silent. And to act, and thirdly, acting like him and with the same purpose. These three directions are where we are supposed to imitate him, or these three areas are where we are supposed to imitate him. And now we're going to read from the same book of Genesis, 1, starting from the third verse. Godly method of creation. It's amazing that God's method of creation, in the light of that we are made in his likeness, and we are supposed to imitate him in everything, is also our method of creation and our method of life. We are created to live like this. People are to this day trying to find out how to live. But God, from the beginning, is explaining exactly how to do this. He is training us, like his dear children, from the very first, his method for our life, or our method of life, of living. So we're reading Genesis 1:3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Sixth, and God said, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water. Nine, and God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear. 11, and God said, 14, and God said, 20, and God said, 24, and God said, 26, and God said, to understand why the Holy Spirit written this same phrase so many times, because you could have acted it differently. He could have just said, and God said, listed everything that he said, and then said at the end, and it was so. But to understand why Holy Spirit written the same phrase over and over again, it's important to look at what happened after God said. And it's written, after these verses, it says, and there was light in another place, and it was so. In another place, it is written, and God saw. Wait a moment, what did God see? Well, God saw what he said. And he saw this after he said something. Oh, I'm hoping you're understanding this. What did God see? He saw what he said. When did he see this? After he said this. And before this? He didn't see this? Nope, he didn't see this. So this was only visible after he said it. And are we created in his likeness? Oh, Brother Oleg, I'm not really sure in this. Oh, but I want you to understand this. Whether you believe this or not, you are created in his likeness. And this acts in your life 24 hours a day. And no knowledge in this area gives place to Satan, because you will still say something. And therefore, due to God's method of creation, in the light that we are created in his likeness, something will only appear in our lives only after it is spoken. Like it says in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So if everybody could repeat this. So shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. And that is every word that you say. Once after I did this, a sister put up her hand and said, oh, Brother Oleg, can we please ask for forgiveness for every word that we spoke before we do this? She understood the responsibility that she took on herself. In Proverbs 18:21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. In another place in the scripture, it says, by word was created heaven and earth. So spoken word creates. Silence doesn't create anything. God created the spiritual person, man, to speak. Animals don't have this ability. They can't speak. They can imitate. They can imitate sounds. But the only creation on earth that is able to use words as a tool is a person, is man. So words are the tool through which man is supposed to direct things on earth. Therefore, God gave man words and the gift of saying these words. Man doesn't have his own words. There's only two categories right now that exist on the earth, two categories of words. There is godly words and corrupted godly words, which we call Satan's. Satan doesn't have his own words. Satan's words are just corrupted words of God. Satan took some words, corrupted them, and we call them Satan's. Right now, person or man has option of choice or has choice which sets of words to use. You can use godly words or Satan's words. And Proverbs 18:20 says, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips, he shall be filled. Did you know that every word is produce, is a product? You are saying a product. You're saying what will be the end product. If you are not satisfied by the product, change your words. Not your change of location, not your location, not your husband or wife or wherever, but you need to change your words. From the produce of his lips, he shall be filled. Life of every person is a picture or a portrait. And looking at a life of a certain person, sometimes you could say, Brother Oleg, this is a picture of Picasso. You can't understand what's what. You can't understand what's going on. So if you want to change your portrait, just change your words. So from the produce of his lips, he shall be filled. So shall my word that goes from my mouth, it shall not return to me void. So a person from the produce of his mouth or produce of his lips fills his life. So it's important to know or to notice what you say, what words you use. Very important. And it says in scripture that with many words, you cannot escape sin. So learn to be not wordy. So we're going to take Book of James, or how I would say Revelation of James. And I will say why I call it Revelation of James. James is Jesus' brother. But this is not the special thing that sets it apart. What sets the book of James apart is James lived with Jesus. He saw Jesus's life, life by faith. What he saw, he wrote in his book. Unlike any of the other apostles, he wrote about a life of faith. The other apostles don't write about this. So we're going to take a look at the revelation of James. The revelation that he received, looking at the life of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit made an accent on this so that it was noticed. James 3, starting from verse 2. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man. In other words, whoever says words that God says with the same purpose, then he's a perfect man. People try to be perfect. People always say, oh, I want to be like Jesus. I am ready to do anything to be like Jesus. But they do not pay attention to what they say. They do not pay attention to what is coming out of their mouth. But here it's simply written, to be perfect, just never be at fault in what you say. You don't need a lot. People torture their physical body. They do crazy things to reach perfection, but don't reach even close. Don't come even close. So what we're reading in the book of James is what he saw in the life of Christ. He saw what he talked about, how he reacted to what people talked about, his responses, and wrote that you are a perfect man if you are never at fault in what you say. If anyone is never at fault in what he said, he is a perfect man. Able. I like the word able. Able. Have strength, power. Able. To keep his whole body in check. Your body is not just there. Your body does not have an independent mind. Your body has a tool over it. Do you want your body to be in the right place at the right time 100% of the time? Your body is 100% in the power of your words. Able to keep his whole body in check. So, your body is 100% in the power of your words. Your words. 100%. It doesn't have independent thinking. It doesn't do whatever it wants to do. Oh, Brother Oleg, I said this today, but it still did something else. I'm not talking about single use. I'm talking about daily life. Constant. Able to keep his whole body in check. Able. When we, who? We, doesn't say God. It's when we, that we need to do this, not God do this. Oh, God, please help me. Please control my mouth. Oh, no, God will not do this. God gave you the power of choice. It's when we put the bits into the mouths of horses. I just put emphasis on this because sometimes I hear Christians praying, oh, please, God, do something with me. God's not going to do anything with you. James compares the tools, words, to bits, and the body of horses to the bodies of people. So we control our bodies with words. And just listen to how people use words. Oh, just to talk. Just to chat and gossip. I'd like to point out that this type of wisdom came from, not from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Just say whatever you want, whatever you're thinking, and he will direct your thoughts. People think that Satan just gets into their life or attacks their life, but just listen to what they say. They just let him in. When we put bits into the mouths of horses, to, I like the word to, which means it has purpose, with purpose, to. So I am talking with a purpose. Oh, you need to talk. If you're not talking with a purpose, you need to talk with a purpose. You can't just see something and say something. Everything we say goes with purpose. It's always to. When we put bits into the mouths of horses, to make them obey us. The purpose of the bit in the mouth of a horse is to make them obey us. So we need to use words with the purpose of directing our bodies. People who don't understand this just react to facts or react to the world. They see or hear something and they start to comment. And James said, out of the same mouth cannot come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Us, as born-again Christians, we can't say everything. We need to really watch what we say. When we put bits into the mouth of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole, the entire, all, oh, Brother Oleg, but my arm's not listening to me, or my leg's not listening to me, all, it says all, the entire animal, the words of your mouth formulates the direction of your body, your entire body, in every aspect of your life. Or take ships as an example. James takes ships as an example of a life. Your life consists of five areas: spiritual, soul, physical, financial, and community. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, economics, politics, different happenings or catastrophes, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Who wants to go? The pilot. And if the pilot does not know where to go, then it's a great evil if he does not know. Your life is directed by what you say, or what comes out of your mouth is the pilot that formulates the direction that steers your ship. Politics and economics and everything else can't affect your life if your pilot is wise. If something that happened in the world that affected you, then you need to change your pilot. So ships, although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. And the tongue likes to boast or likes to exaggerate. And usually, bad things, it likes to exaggerate more so than good things. You were born again with words or through words, and words play a very important role in a person's life. So James compares words in the life of man to horses or ships. With the help of a bit, you can stop a horse, turn him, slow him down, or speed him up. And all of this, the horse doesn't do by itself. It does it with the control of a bit, by whoever's sitting on the horse. And ships, he compares to life. Even though it's so large, it can be turned by a very small rudder. Why is there no change in some people's lives? Actually, there is always change, whether in for better or for worse. Who is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man. Right now, in this time, there is only two ways that you can be affected. Something what you say into your life, or you accepted something that somebody else said into your life. Either you accepted something, or you said or sowed and reaped something. In Matthew 12:36, Jesus says, "But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken." And it says in Proverbs 18:21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Death doesn't come just by itself. Life doesn't come just by itself. Death and life are in the power. Sickness and health are in the power. Richness and poorness are in the power. Understanding and ignorance is in the power. Curses and blessings are in the power of the tongue. Oh, brother, oh, it's better if I just cut it off. Well, don't cut it off. It's a very good instrument. It's a very good tool. Just use it correctly and you will have no questions. By statistics, the most common weapon that brings the most deaths is not a gun. It's a kitchen knife. It's easily accessible. God gave you words not to kill, and yourself included, but to create in your own life as well. Deuteronomy 30:19. "I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live." How do we choose? We choose with words. This isn't easy. I am working on this question for a relatively long time. It's not easy to watch what you say, especially when you feel pressure from people close to you.
from your relatives and friends. But nobody said that it's easy being a Christian. But the life of a Christian is a victorious life. It's not easy, but it's a victorious life. And I would like to look at one of the examples from Old Testament. Numbers 13. The Lord said to Moses, "Send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites." Okay. God is giving to Israelites the land which he promised to Abraham. So through Moses, God is fulfilling his word. What did he promise to Abraham? A land flowing with milk and honey. He didn't promise them a cursed land with nothing on it. There's no such thing in blessings and promises. So through Moses, he is fulfilling his word. And he's telling Moses, send 12 people to take a look at this land. So they went to the land, and after looking at this land, they came back. Then they reported to them and the whole assembly. What does this have to do with us? Well, Jesus went, did the finished work of Calvary, came back and said, "Brothers, you no longer need to die. Remember, life and death is in the life of the tongue. So how can we no longer die? Just don't say any more curses and live." Jesus is a guarantor of every word of God. The thing is that you need to speak the truth first. And they came back and they gave Moses this account. "We went into the land which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit." Okay, amen. "But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large." Tell me, were they telling the truth? Yes, they were stating fact, but you don't need to state facts. But nobody says that you keep on repeating these facts or restating these facts, it's going to change these facts. First of all, facts don't happen in everybody's life. There are some people that didn't let this into their life from the very beginning, or into their words from the very beginning, and it wasn't let into their life. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified very large. We saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and Amorites live in all the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack these people. They are stronger than we are." Let's take a look at the mark that God gave the report of the 10 people. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. God stated this, that it was a bad report. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." So in other words, to understand better, we need to view this through the proverbs of sowing and reaping. So these 10 were sowers, and there came a reaping. That night, all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. So they're continuing to sow. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron. They're continuing to sow. God didn't take the Israelites into the desert. I'm destroying a lot of theories on this right now. He didn't take the Israelites into the desert. Let's look at this again. That night, all the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, option one, "If only we had died in Egypt." Option two, "Or died in this desert." Tell me, who chose to die in the desert? God? No, that was their own choice, and God respected their choice. God says, "So tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very things I heard you say. In this desert, your bodies will fall." But God is merciful. He didn't let everybody die. "Every one of you 20 years old or more, who was counted in the census and who has grumbled against me, everybody who was younger and children were spared." I know that if every Christian got a recorder that recorded everything they said, over the course of a week or a month, and then they came for counseling, and then we started to listen to to what he said, and I think it would have been scary. God is merciful. And so, if only we had died in Egypt or in this desert. So it was their own choice, their own choice. Well, we have some time, and I just want to tell you a few examples. They're a bit heavy, but this is the way it is. Me and my wife were taking a walk, and there was a construction site, and there was some kids playing. And they were climbing all over it, and all of a sudden, a pile just caved in, crashed on it. All the kids all ran away, managed to run away except for one. And I ran over there, and only one child was pinned. The child was laying there, and he was in shock, but his arm was completely, completely wrecked. So the child wouldn't see this, I screamed for a towel, covered it up. And because the child was in shock, he didn't feel the pain. And I still remember what he said. He was 4. He said, "Just don't tell my mother, she's gonna kill me." And I understand what this mother said to her child every time she sent him outside to play. "Don't you dare go there. If I see you there, you will this and that." Children live by the authority or by the words of their parents. Spiritual authority is given to parents. Children don't just live by themselves. What parents say gives direction to the child's life. And over time, word became flesh. And those were not born-again Christians. But you can even do this yourself. Stand in the hallway of a church and listen to what people say. Like some phrases I've heard, "Oh, poor child." That's a straight curse. Straight curse. "Poor child." Or "dumb." You just hear words like that thrown around. Or I've heard another one. "This always happens to me." When you say "always" with the association of a curse, whenever something bad happens to you, that's just, forget about using that. You can say, "I'm always healthy. I'm never sick. I always have blessings." Don't use such words in association with curses. And Satan often comes and whispers to you, "Say the truth. Tell the truth. Don't lie. But think about what you say." Or this is another one. "Oh, scared to think about. You're letting fear in." Or "frightfully funny." It's a weird one. How can it be frightfully funny? Or this one. "Oh, so funny, I can't speak." And other such phrases that people use without actually thinking about it. I would like to give you a few scriptures. Proverbs 11:11-12. "By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. He who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace." And when Israelites came to the land of Canaan and it was time to inherit the leadership from Moses, Joshua was chosen. The Lord said, "To be successful, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth," not from your head or from your heart, from your mouth. "Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." And Ephesians 4:24-31. "And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgave you."
Father, we are thankful to you. We believe that Jesus is anointed and put by God for each of us personally so that we complete our calling in all its fullness without any lack. Thank you, Jesus. We know that you came into the life of each one of us so that we have life and have life abundantly. You are the provider of your people, of your inheritance. And right now, we bless our seed that God gave us to sow and gives abundance to the sown. We bless the seed and say 100-fold harvest for provision of life, for provision of calling. Rise up and come into our storehouses, come into our pantries, and fruit of the land, be abundant and fruitful. We accept our heavenly provision right now in the name of Jesus. And to you, Satan, we forbid to interfere with the incoming of harvest in the name of Jesus. We accept, Lord. Thank you that you made us a people of blessing to many nations. We are thankful to you that we have everything we need for life and godliness. May we be a blessing to many nations in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for coming.